Jesus would have been a great politician. Actually, literally, wouldn't it be great if we had in Congress 535 Jesuses? Wouldn't that be? But also, Jesus answered questions well. I'll get back to that. And actually, I mean that in a good way when I say he would be a good politician. In the idealist, in the best ideals of being a politician. We have this story today of the Sadducees coming and asking a question. Before I get into the passage, just a reminder about who the Sadducees are, because it's germane to what they're doing here. There were really two major sets of religious leaders in the time of Jesus, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We tend to know the Pharisees better. They appear more in the Gospels, you know, usually as the bad guys. But the Pharisees were actually the more progressive and liberal of these two sets of religious leaders. The Sadducees were quite conservative. And by that I mean they relied solely on Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they didn't ascribe any divine inspiration to other books, just those five. Thus, everything they preached and did, they had to find reason for it in the Torah. And that's why they did not believe in the resurrection or in an afterlife, because they did not find any evidence in those five books of Torah to suggest that there was resurrection or an afterlife. The Pharisees were actually quite liberal in that regard. They looked to other Hebrew scriptures, including books like Daniel, which clearly alludes to resurrection and an afterlife, and even some more apocryphal ones like 1 Enoch, which talks about us becoming even angels in the afterlife. The Pharisees also relied on oral tradition as well as scripture. So it is the Sadducees who come to Jesus in this passage. And remember, they don't believe in resurrection, but Jesus has clearly been talking about resurrection and afterlife and eternity with God. And so the Sadducees come and ask a question. Now, I would also remind you, there are many reasons that we ask questions. Sometimes we ask questions because we actually want to know the answer. We want to learn. You know, students in a class ask questions so they can learn. But we humans ask questions for other reasons as well. Sometimes we ask questions in order to trap someone or make them look foolish. We don't really think there's an answer to the question, or we think we know the answer, but we ask questions to try and make the other person who has to try and answer them look bad. You know, sometimes the questions in things like presidential debates are asked that way, which is again why I say Jesus would have been a good politician, because Jesus sees right through that. That's the reason the Sadducees ask their question today. They don't really want to know what Jesus thinks, but they think they have a question that will trap Jesus and make him look foolish for preaching about resurrection. Now, they draw this question from Torah, from Deuteronomy, actually, Deuteronomy 25, in which Moses says, if there is a man who marries a woman and he dies and they are childless, his brother must marry that woman and try to have a child to carry on the family name. And so the Sadducees come to Jesus and say, "Teacher," you can almost see that grin on their face, "Teacher, we have a question." You will remember Moses making this law. So there was a man who married a woman, But he died before they had children. Now he had six brothers. Each one in succession followed the law, married the woman, and each died before there were any children. So, teacher, in the resurrection that you talk about, in the afterlife, whose wife will she be? Which of the brothers? They think they've got him. They think they have posed a question for which there is no response, certainly no response drawn from Torah. But Jesus is way ahead of them. He sees right through their attempt. And so Jesus says, actually, you've got it all wrong. And it has nothing to do with marriage or the law. You've got it all wrong about God's kingdom and the afterlife. First of all, Jesus says, let's talk about marriage. What's the reason that we have marriage? What's the reason that society is so involved with promoting marriage? Let me throw it out. Why does society care about and promote marriage? What's the reason for it? Society doesn't care if two people love each other and live together forever, right? What's the purpose of marriage? Ah, family, yes. The purpose from society's view of marriage is to bring people together to have children. Now, why does society want people to have children? Yes.
To perpetuate itself,
exactly. Society knows we die. So if there aren't any children, the society dies. So the whole purpose, really, of marriage is procreation, to continue society. Why? Because we die. So Jesus reminds the Sadducees, you know, I'm talking about resurrection and the afterlife, and even heaven, if you want to put that word on it. And what does that mean? That means living eternally with God. So, if in the afterlife people don't die, there's no reason for marriage because there's no reason to procreate because you don't have to perpetuate society because no one's going to die. So Jesus says, there's no marriage in heaven. There's no need for it. In fact, Sadducees, your problem is you are thinking about God's kingdom as if it were earthly kingdom. You are imagining that in heaven there will be all the rules and regulations and customs and assumptions that are in this world, many of which have to do with suffering and death. There'll be no need for any of those in heaven. In fact, in heaven, it won't matter where you're from or your family connections or your profession or how much money you've got or none of those things that matter on earth will matter in heaven. In heaven, everyone is a child of God. So a woman who in Jesus' time needed to have a man somehow involved in her life as husband or son in order to have standing. None of that in heaven. The woman and all seven brothers all are fully children of God in heaven. God's kingdom is about life. It's a kingdom of life, life abundantly, life richly, life eternally. And clearly by your question, Sadducees, you don't understand that. Now you might understand why the Sadducees and everyone else said, let's not ask him any more questions. See how Jesus turns a question designed to trap him, make him look foolish, and turns it into a broad answer about here is who God is and what God is all about. Life and abundant life, not about all the petty rules and regulations and assumptions of this world. You must leave those behind in thinking about God's kingdom and about God. It's a brilliant answer. Also profound in reminding us of all of these things. Our God is a God of life. And notice as well, Jesus brilliantly brings Torah into his answer as well. He says, and I can prove what I'm saying from the one thing you look to for proof, Sadducees. In Torah, you remember when Moses at the burning bush asked God, who are you? And God first says, I am. And then Moses says, well, if I'm going to go to my fellow Israelites and tell them someone has sent me, just saying I am has sent me is kind of vague. Can you tell me who you are? And God says, well, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. All of them long dead. But I am their God. Notice God doesn't say, I was the God of Abraham. I was the God of Jacob. I was the God of Isaac. He says, I am their God. I am their God because they are still obviously living with me. God is the God of life. And one of the things we have to work to get our minds around in this world is that all, or most all of the things that we get so wrapped up in this life, laws and rules and regulations and customs and habits and assumptions, God really doesn't care about those things, except as they may or may not reflect God's values. But God reminds us, in God's kingdom, eternally, God doesn't care about marriage or traffic laws or taxes or political parties or nations. God cares about ultimately one thing. God wants us to live eternally and abundantly with God. Period. Amen.